Welcome. You're listening to Raw Health Rebel podcast of Lisa Strabak. It's time to disrupt the current view of health and return to the raw basics that true wellness comes from within. I'm super excited to speak to Chad Kilgore, a former American footballer turned artist and truth seeker. Chad delivers an extremely strong and powerful message in his calm, level-headed and appealing way. We chat about Chad's role as a lighthouse for those who are lost and countering the mainstream disempowering fear narrative. We discuss why many people, especially the tough alphas, are not speaking or acting in their truth and how stepping out of comfort leads to growth. We talk about the principle of natural law and how people need to realise their power and align back to authenticity, morality and being more human. We also compare notes on lockdown living in the American Midwest versus England, and I have to confess to finding Chad's lifestyle something to aspire to, including the 20 goats. I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from Chad, and I'm really thrilled to have him on the show.
You know, I'm really excited to speak to you because most of the other people I've spoken to my podcast, like I've heard other podcasts, you know, so like it's obviously I love speaking to everyone, but I've kind of, you know, heard their stories. And I was like, I haven't, you know, apart from your Instagram page, I haven't heard you. So have you done any other podcasts or anything
before? I just came out of nowhere. No, you know, I did one with a friend a while back, but no, I haven't really done any podcasts. You know?
Excellent. So it's like an exclusive.
Like an exclusive for sure. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I stumbled across your Instagram page only like probably a couple of weeks ago, and I just absolutely loved it. I was like, oh, we have a man speaking up in a really like way that keeps you listening. You know, I think sometimes there's so many women speaking up, or like men that can be so aggressive, like it kind of just
I know what you mean. There has to be like that balance between, hey guys, we got some shit to do here, and you know, speaking to them in a way that they're gonna hear rather than just screaming it, you know. But I do think that I take a more aggressive approach than most people, but still I try to be firm but not like, you know, over the top, you know.
It's your manner. It comes across in a, you know, the message is strong, but it comes across in a very sort of appealing way. So that's great.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it does. That's my intent, you know. And some people, it's probably off-putting to some people, but you know, it's not for everybody, I guess.
Well, it's time to not sit on the fence, I think, anymore. So for people that haven't sort of come across you, can you introduce yourself to the people listening?
Yeah. My name's Chad Kilgore. I grew up in the Midwest out here. I grew up on about 40 acres with my parents out here just outside of Kansas City. And my whole life was kind of geared around sports. I played football, American football, and I did that for, you know, 25 years. I was with a couple NFL teams. I played in the Canadian Football League for a year, and you know, my drive and my care left that, and you know, I just felt like I was being called to do other things, and so that's kind of when I got started into artwork. And now I've been doing that for the past 4 or 5 years. And now I feel like I'm sort of being called again to do other work that is even, you know, way more important than that. So that's kind of my short, I guess, background that just evolved here, I guess.
And so what is the work that you're being called to do now? What's this new direction?
Well, in alchemy, it is called the great work. And I think that it is to help, to be kind of a catalyst to help other people awaken. You know, I know, and I don't want to say it's like my job to wake people up, you know, but I think there needs to be teachers that, or light posts or lighthouses, you know, for people that are lost or just asleep, you know, the people that are on the fence. There needs to be more people speaking it, because as you know, like their message, the controller's message is being spouted 24/7 from every direction. And we don't have enough people to counter that, to control the minds of the masses, because it's all about controlling the minds. And so that's, I feel like I'm just one person among many that are trying to counter the onslaught of propaganda and, you know, that kind of stuff.
And what, like, when this sort of waking up or awakening that a lot of people talk about, you know, for you, what was it? When was some, like, was it something that just that happened to you, like a big life event that a lot of people have, or was it just sort of gradual? How did that happen for
you? It was more gradual. I mean, you, when you see through, you know, things like germ theory and things like that, and you start to put together that scale of lies is happening on a global scale, then, you know, that then it's like, oh shit, like this is way bigger than I had originally thought. And I don't think it was like one thing for me, or not that I can pinpoint it, but it was just kind of a gradual thing, because once I caught on to it, once I figured out that there was deception, then, you know, my personality, my mom has always called it like an addictive personality, but, and you know, it can be very destructive if you go down the wrong way, but I use it for positive, you know, I use it for good. So once I figured out that there was deception, you know, I just start taking in information as much as I possibly can, you know, and then I just felt like I had a moral obligation to spread that back out to other people. You know, it's like, what to know and not to act is to not know at all. I may as well just stay asleep. And, you know, it's for me, it's a moral thing above all else. It's it gets to my heart, you know, it's I really care about humanity, I guess, and serving the truth. And so
I get that, and I like that. And I think addictive, or you could just say passionate, might be another word. But no, I like that. So actually, interesting you said about germ theory, because I have to say, for me, like, realizing all wasn't what it seemed was when I discovered like alternative health or quackery. My daughter was vaccine injured, and then like nothing could help. And I went to see a homeopath, and I was really skeptical. You know, I just thought, what is this crazy stuff? But I was kind of desperate.
Yeah.
And then I saw that it worked, and I was like, oh my God, if this works, you know, I'd go on Wikipedia and it was like, it's pseudoscience. And I was like, that is not pseudoscience. And it just like, it was like being red pilled for me. I was like, wow, that is, because the world wasn't the same anymore. You know, I thought, why aren't, if they or whoever they are, or if society has our, the government has our best interests at heart, surely they want us to get well and healthy and show us that these alternative therapies work. Instead, you're ridiculed and ostracized and, you know, called a quack. So that for me was it. And actually, like what you said about germ theory, I'm interested just to explore that, because when you realize that it isn't just all this big scary stuff out there, you know, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
For yourself.
Your own terrain. Yeah.
Yeah. So where did you discover, what sort of tweaked that for you?
You know, this was just like fairly recently, probably, end of last year, like most people, maybe not you, but I mean, just big picture wise, when you realize that, you know, they've engineered people to be scared of each other's germs, and so we want to stay away from each other, and it's just like a huge divisive tactic to make people fear each other when really we're all connected, you know. And but the whole germ theory thing is just such a sinister thing, you know, when you look at it, because they and the whole allopathic field is built upon it. You know, it's like my friend Remy, he put it pretty beautifully. Like, if you think of it as like a long strand math equation, and so at the very beginning is where you fucked up, and then you kept building on that, and it was compounded over 100 years, you know, and you got this huge equation, but the foundation was built on sand, you know what I mean? So the whole thing is a lie, no matter how complex and how professional it looks and how many institutions you got and how many priests in the white lab coats we got, it's all built on sand, you know? And that's what a lot of these fundamental axioms we have in our society are built on. Like even vaccines, you know, they're built on sand of some dude just experimenting with some pus. Like that's where that shit came from. And it's all built on lies and deception. And no matter how, like I was saying, no matter how professional it looks, at the very foundation of it, it's flawed.
Mm. That's so true. And that's why you're not allowed to question it, I guess, or there's not allowed to be an open debate, because the flaws become exposed very quickly once you start looking.
For sure.
What's it like where you are? You're in Missouri. What's it like?
Yeah. Well, we live in like rural Missouri. So, you know, it's a bunch of just good old boys around here. So it's, you know, really where we go shopping, it's not too bad because, you know, there's just few people out and about that'll comply with it anyways. And everything's pretty lax. But, you know, because we're kind of far from Kansas City. We're about an hour, and that's the biggest city near us. And there, you know, people are a little more bought into the lies. And I think they've actually lifted the mask mandate now, but they were hardcore. Like, I got thrown out of a few places over it. But I think now they've let the prisoners run loose in the yard before they corral them back up, you know, at some point here this fall or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it sounds idyllic, actually. Like I long to go somewhere where there's space, because, you know, being here in the UK, I feel trapped on this island. I'm like, get me off here. Completely stuck. Hopefully one day we might be able to go somewhere, but it's very different here because it's so much more densely populated, and, you know, people really seem to go along with it. You know, I'm surprised in some ways, because even though, I mean, there's a mask mandate for in shops, but you can exempt yourself quite easily. You know, I'm just like, oh my God, it's ridiculous. You just have to say, I'm exempt, and that's it.
But so they're cool with it, though, if you say you're exempt?
Yeah, but honestly, right, no one, like if I go to the supermarket and this big store, you know, I'll be maybe the only one not wearing one. I might see, you know, one other person, and I literally want to run and hug them.
And it's so, what's depressing to me is like, okay, so for, you know, some of my projects, I got to go to the hardware store to get something to build frames with or whatever. And, you know, you find like the burliest guys at the hardware store, right? And all of them, you know, you're walking in and they slowly put on their face diaper and you're like, what the hell is wrong with you, dude? You know, like, so many people are playing this part of being a tough guy up until, you know, it comes to enslaving humanity or, you know, enslaving their children, you know. And this, I hate to say it, but I've got a lot of acquaintances and friends that play that part, that they're this tough alpha, and they are only externally, I guess, not internally. And so, you know, I think the most noble cause is to stand for human freedom, you know, and not just health freedom, but human freedom in general, because that's what they're coming for. They're not coming just, it's not just one thing. It's, they're trying to enslave humanity as a whole, you know.
Why do you think like these tough alphas, why do you think they go along with it? You know, is it their fear of judgment, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like it was tough for me to take that step, because a lot of people knew me as, you know, I'm a pretty chill guy most of the time, and they knew me as an athlete, and, you know, I was usually doing the right thing, and I make, you know, I'm an artist as well, and it's hard to step away from people's expectations, I guess. you know, and people have a certain idea of you, and then you're suddenly 180 degrees different than what they thought, you know, then they're like, you know, turned off by it or whatever. And it makes people uncomfortable, but all growth comes with discomfort. And I think a lot of people are afraid to face that initial pain that comes with stepping out of comfort. And, but the more you do it, the more you speak, the easier it gets, because people eventually get used to it. You know, eventually they're like, yeah, he's lost his mind or something, you know, he's just going to do what he's going to do. But that's the thing about serving the truth too, is like, you, to an insane society, you appear crazy, you know, but really we know the truth is perfectly sane, and we're living in an insane society.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so, and you're right, actually, when you challenge yourself, you do get much stronger. When it was the end of last year, and the school said that we would have to wear masks outside to pick our kids up and drop them off, and I thought, like, that was the moment where I thought, oh my god, what do I do, because I haven't worn one, but like, this is different because it's my kids are involved, and like, I'm gonna be the only one that's not wearing one. And I just couldn't do it, though. I thought, I cannot say goodbye to my kids and not smile at them when I say goodbye. And when they come out, you know, I have to greet them with a smile. And it was so, like, the first day I was like, oh my god, you know, school pickup and the school gate can be bad enough anyway, let alone, you know, in that scenario. But it was so bloody liberating. I'm like, I don't care now. It's like, what should you do?
And not only that, but you know that you're right. You know, nobody else around you may understand that, but you know that you're standing in the truth, you know.
It's like being in a trippy dream sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, you know? Isn't it? Yeah, I feel like I'm in a twilight zone every time I leave my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is very, very weird. So, you know, when we sort of say about speaking our truth and sort of, what do you think? Do you think there's anything else that people can do, like that you can do to help people wake up or see another perspective? You know, is it just sharing knowledge, or, you know, what else can people do, I guess?
Well, yeah, and like you were just doing with picking up your child at school, is like embodying that and like actually walking your talk. And yeah, I think the number one thing, like I said, is to speak it, because the universe is spoken into existence. You know, that's why these assholes are talking 24/7 into people's minds. And so I think the biggest thing we can do on an individual level is to speak the message out to other people and be a counter to the onslaught of propaganda and nonsense that they're spewing on the daily. And I think that's all we can do, you know, because our other option is to just not say anything and just allow it to happen. And then that kind of goes with the whole new agey type thing of don't look at the negative and just focus on the positive. But, and there is, you know, you want to remain positive, but at the same time, you have to know what the hell is going on in order to address it, you know? And I think, yeah, we just need a hell of a lot more people speaking these truths, because there's not going to be, you know, there's not going to be any major news source that's going to come and have our back. You know, they're designed to keep the public down, keep the vibration in a low fear state, you know? So if we can't counter that with, you know, through love and compassion and spreading the word and telling each other that we're not full of germs and going to kill grandma and, you know, getting truth out there, then, you know, if we can't get that done, it's going to be a long, painful road. And eventually, you know, the truth is going to win, but it's how long are we going to suffer, you know, because lies can't stand. It's just not how the dynamic of nature works. You know, eventually lies break down and the truth comes out, but how long are we going to consent away our power and suffer in the short or long term?
Mm. how have you found, you know, friends and family? Like, when are they on the same wavelength, or have they been like, what the hell are you talking about when you started? You know, what's been sort of their response?
Well, most. So the family I'm close to is relatively on the same page. You know, some are still bought into the left-right paradigm, the whole political theater. Some of them just don't pay attention at all. But none of them were like, you know, I guess at first my mom was worried about me because she thought, you know, financially I was going to suffer with my clients and stuff. And maybe I will, like, but, you know, taking a financial hit is, you know, just peanuts compared to the work there is to be done, in my opinion. But as far as friends, like, it's probably a 50-50 split between, you know, friends that I had in the past, and some of them wholeheartedly disagree with me. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say it's because they're bought into this system hard. And I think that prevents a lot of people from taking an honest look at the truth, because they, you know, it's either they got family that are pressuring them, or they've got a mountain of debt that causes them to see truth in a way that they shouldn't be looking at it. Mm-hmm. In a lot of instances, I think it's just they want to offload personal responsibility, honestly, because it's scary to not have somebody there taking care of you, because they want to remain a child, you know, and an adult child, essentially, is what it is. And that's what, like, a lot of these so-called alpha males are. They're just adult children walking around that want somebody to take care of them. So they can't imagine a world without the government, or, you know, their institution or corporation or whatever it is there to take care of them. Then they can't, you know, survive by themselves.
Yeah, we've been.
That was my long-winded answer to that.
No, it's good. I think, yeah, people have been indoctrinated since birth. Like, you just get on in the system, don't you? Go to school. I mean, that really. And I think once you start opening up to it, I read, actually, it's written by an American teacher, John Taylor Gatto. It's called Dumbing Us Down, and I read that just before lockdown. I don't know if you've heard of it, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I have to get my kids out of mainstream education. You know, when you realize what it's actually designed to do.
Yes.
So I guess people are just, they're indoctrinated into the whole system and reliant upon, you know, all the different.
Cause it came from like the Prussian system, and then to the Nazi German system. And then we've adopted this system, and it's all designed to not teach you how to think, is to teach you what to think, you know? And that's what we want to do with our kids. We want to teach them how to think, not tell them what to think and just to be a good worker, you know? Mm-hmm. Because then you get these adult children that don't know how to fend for themselves if, you know, the government, which is a stand-in for, I guess, their parents, you know, if they're not there, then they don't know how to operate in society.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think it applies to most aspects of life. Like, I mean, I think about the health, because I've sort of gone and studied alternative therapy. I'm a homeopath. And I just think people with their health, they don't take any responsibility for it. You know, they want to go to the doctor, get a pill, magically make it all better. You know, don't actually realize there's no sort of accountability, or I sound like I'm judging, and I'm not, because I have been there myself. But it's just the way that we are. You know, it's ingrained in us. And then I think once you start seeing things, you like want to start changing all the systems. So, you know, becoming self-employed, or, you know, farming, you know, getting land, just not being so reliant on the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at. Like, we live on 6 acres, so it's not like huge, but we're trying to grow our own food and, you know, collect rainwater. We're going there. You know?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it'd going that far with it, because, you know, there's just, if you know, like, what Agenda 21, Agenda 30 is, like, they don't want anybody to have private property whatsoever. They want to control aquifers and, you know, even meter a well, if you have a well. So, like, they want to control all these sources, and they want to do that because they want to control humans. You know, they won't just leave people the hell alone to live their lives. So
that's you're living my dream. Like, we want to get ultimately some
we're not there yet, you know, we're trying to move in that direction, you know.
Or to have that land, you know, I'm in the southeast of England, so, like, really, yeah, you know, not that far away from London, and it's just not really possible. You know, we have to move, yeah, somewhere even crapper.
Is it a small portion to buy land around there?
Yeah, oh my god, like, it's just ridiculous. And then you can't, yeah, any land around here that is available, you won't be able to build on because it's green belt. So you would have to move, like, somewhere like Scotland or Wales to get, yeah, like, you know, what I want. And I'm like, no, I really, the weather is just a big thing for me. So, yeah, I definitely don't want to go where it's even crapper.
Yeah.
So what animals have you got? Have you?
Oh, well, okay. My wife, every time she goes to the store, seems to come home with a new animal. So we've got dogs, some cats. We did, up until recently, we had almost 20 goats.
Oh my god.
They're like 30 or 40 chickens and ducks and a couple geese, and that might be it for now, until the next store trip. We'll see.
What, you just pick them up at the store? I love
that. Oh, yeah. She'll just go to the farm store to pick up some feed for our animals or whatever, and then she'll come home with, like, 6 chickens or something, you know.
And so, I love that.
Yeah.
What's the weather like over there?
Well, in Missouri, it gets pretty humid, you know, in the summer. It can get pretty hot. But we had a relatively good spring too. So, you know, it's pretty mild, I guess. It's not too extreme in either direction most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's funny, the perception over here of the US, you know, it feels like such a contrast. You know, I get the impression that in Florida, everyone's just living life as normal, you know, partying it up. And it's, yeah, what is going on? Like, you know, here, our lockdown's just been extended again, or did, like, you know, it was meant to be Freedom Day on the 21st of June. Like, obviously, it wasn't going to happen. And people, like, they've extended it for another 4 weeks. But, and then you think in Florida, everyone's out, you know, night clubbing.
Just partying. Yeah. I know, it's wild. I can't. And yeah, what they're doing in the UK, well, and all in other parts of the world, it's just insane to me, you know. And the fact that these few people think that they can dictate the lives of entire populations is just a fucking joke, you know. And it's so sick that we've given them that power. And so that's, like, if we would just take our own on an individual level, as an individuated consciousness, take our power back, we could ease, like, tomorrow we could overturn all this bullshit. You know, if everybody would just understand the power that they have.
Yeah, totally. I think it ends over here when we say no. And I don't know what, honestly, I don't know what it's going to take to wake people up, because I thought better of people in this country, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Am I the only one that's
I even thought the same here, you know. And we've got a bunch of, you know, gun toting hillbillies around here too, you know. And I thought more people, like, would be aware that this was a government overreach, and especially this far into it. And there probably is a bunch of people that think it's bullshit, but they still don't say anything. But not saying anything is like saying it's okay, you know. At this point, if you refuse to say anything, it's like, yeah, I'm good with it, just roll over me, just enslave my kids or whatever. And, you know, if that's essentially consent to these psychopaths.
So I'm going to ask you, like, the $64 million question. So what is the truth? You know, we talk about people knowing the truth. What do you think it actually is?
there's uppercase truth and there's lowercase. Like if you were eating a chocolate bar, that may be good to you, but not good to me. So it's truth to you, but it's not truth to me. But uppercase truth is objective truths that apply to Earth, like natural law, essentially, is a truth that govern consequences of human behavior. And I think they don't want people to understand that. This is why all the culture and all the distractions and the bread and circuses and reality TV and all that shit is because they don't want you to understand what natural law is, which is the consequences of behaviors in the world. Because, you know, it's kind of like karma or, you know, consequentialism, things like that. But it's like if people actually knew that there was definitive right and wrong and they would align themselves to correct morals and act accordingly, then we would have a vastly different world. And, you know, and there's also, you know, there's an underlying truth to like germ theory versus terrain theory. And that is also capital T truth. There's a foundational truth to all these things, you know, and they just build lies to cover over it. You know, they build a facade in front of it to cover over it. And that's what I feel like my job is to tear down that facade and bring people back to living in truth and living in natural law and aligning our morals back to being a fucking human again, you know, versus we're disconnected and all that. You know, that's what it is to me anyways, if that made sense. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and we certainly are. I mean, I sometimes think people are so non-human nowadays, like just automatons basically everywhere. Do you think like for the majority that they will, I don't know, sometimes I'm like, well, people actually, like, what will it take to wake people up? You know, I sort of think, would it have already, should it have already happened by now? You know, will it be for their kids? You know, what is the?
Well, that's why I love that quote that I think it was Leonardo da Vinci quote. That's there are those who see, there are those who see when shown, and then those who will never see. Because I literally do think there's three classes of people. There are people that see, like you and I. And then there are people who can see when they're shown, you know, like you and I can show them the truth, say, hey, let's fucking go, you know, and they'll come with you. And then there's the third group that'll never wake up. They'll stay asleep or they'll pretend to be asleep, you know, and you're definitely not going to wake up the people that are pretending to be asleep, you know. And I think they're just people that are going to be left behind, you know, and as unfortunate as that is, that their worldview is so hardened that they just refused truth and they refuse to look at anything other than their poisoned worldview.
Sail without them, Lisa.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's funny, I was doing a podcast earlier and was saying a similar thing with the lady I was speaking to. Just this absolute hatred. You know, she had a Facebook video that went viral and had like 2.5 million views. And she said the anger that people put her way, you know, if you don't like it, just move on. You don't have to like be so venomous. They're the third category people, aren't they?
They're the third category people, you know, and they just, when they see something that's contradictory to their worldview, it threatens their existence or their identity. And they can't stand it. So they, you know, they lash out or, you know, they can't stand that other people have a different view of the world than they do. And that threatens them and they don't feel safe in their comfortable little bubble, essentially, you know? And so, yeah, they are definitely the third class of people. And they always tend to be the most outspoken too. You know, they're the ones with the biggest mouth on them.
Completely.
And it's always hate too, you know. It's always, they're always trying to tear somebody down. And can you imagine just going through your day to day and just that hateful angst, you know?
No, I mean, how unhealthy must they be, like, to have that, like, that anger, like, boiling up inside? Their livers must be about to, like,
explode. Heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah, no, it's awful. So what about, like, you've got kids, I've got kids, you know, one of the things that really sort of powers me up is, you know, thinking about my children, you know. And some last year I was like, oh my god, you know, when I was sort of seeing what was going on and no one else was, but luckily a lot of people are on the same page now, but I was like, oh my god, I'm all alone, you know. I feel like Winston Smith in 1984. But so that, you know, and I was like, what have I done having kids, bringing them into this awful world, you know, which I feel awful to say, but I was like, what place are we? You know, I feel much more optimistic now, trying to, you know, set an example, lead by example for them. You know, what do you do to sort of keep your kids in a good place?
I'm going to be honest with you. I thought just almost the opposite of what you thought. I thought, let's have more kids. So let's, because, you know, we need more good humans in the world. You know what I mean? I don't know. That was my thinking, is that we need, you know, people that are actually good humans and that are, you know, pro-human freedom. If we let the cowards of the world just reproduce, you know, we're all going to be the minority, you know?
See, that's a really good response about, like, saying you want to have more kids, because, like, a lot of my friends... that are younger, that, you know, are thinking of having kids, they're like, my very close friend was like, I don't want to have kids now, I don't want to bring them into this world. And I was like, please have them, because I need my children to have someone to play with, or, you know.
I need my kids to have some sane friends. Yes,
exactly. Completely. So do you keep, like, are they aware, you know, my kids aren't really that, we try to keep things completely normal, you know, but I think there are some children that haven't seen their grandparents for over a year, or or wearing even, masks, you know.
Yeah, even around where I live, you know, there's some friends of ours, I think they didn't see their parents or family until you know, they got their jab. Oh, it's so sad. But yeah, I think there's a lot of that here. So I assume that it's a worldwide thing, that people are just, you know, they're scared of the germ, big scary germ, and think they're going to harm their family members. So they did what the newsman said, stayed home, saved lives.
Oh, don't. It's,
oh my God.
It's just, so, I can't believe, yeah, no, I honestly, I just think to be so scared of dying that you're prepared to stop living, you know, how sad is that?
Yes.
Well, today, so, you know, today when I picked, they've said, you know, now people don't have to wear masks at school pick up. And there was one elderly guy picking up, like a grandparent picking up their kid, and he was outside in the boiling hot sun wearing a mask, you know, and he obviously would have had his vaccine, because we've rolled it all out here now. And I thought, how sad, you know. I didn't feel, all I thought was, you poor guy, like, what, how anxious, how fearful must you be?
I know. I feel a mix of anger and then just sadness for people, because you see, like, you know, like you said, these elderly people, like, we gotta bump all of our, all the people we need are sleeping, you know, and then the people that are just pretending to sleep are, that's even a worse state to be in, I think, than if you were to actually sleep.
Completely. And I'd say that scene came, and that they were like, oh, no, I'm not going to get it. And then, I mean, if you want to get it, that's up to you, you know, informed choice, freedom of choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it was like, oh, I'm getting it because I really want to go on holiday. And it's like, what? That's not a reason to do it. You know, like, do it because, you know, and then the irony is, we're still all landlocked anyway and can't leave the country anyways.
Yeah. It's so bizarre, the justifications people will come up with, isn't it? That to it wouldn't matter what's in that, you know. It's like, as long as they can go live their life and stay in their little comfort zone, just shoot me up with whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm quite stubborn and bloody minded. I mean, I didn't want it anyway because I don't need it. You know, on a risk, forget about whether it actually works. It hasn't got, you know, even if it was didn't have any toxins and worked perfectly, I don't need it because I have an immune system. I swear they'll have to harpoon me running down the road.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a line that needs to be drawn. In fact, it should have been drawn a long time ago, but we just keep allowing these things to happen, and they're not. That's the thing, is like, you can't just, you know, you can't just keep going along with it because they're not going to stop. You know, eventually you have to say no, but most people have to get have to come to such pain in their own lives, or have to face trauma in their own lives to such a degree that's the only point that they'll say no more. You know, because here, like, we gave people more money to be unemployed, you know, and that created a whole, just give me my stimulus check. Y'all sit at home and do nothing. Like, forget the fact my kids' future is being eroded daily. Like, I'm getting an extra $200. Like, we had so many people just waiting for their stimulus check and just all about, when am I getting my stimulus check? My kids' future is effed, essentially, but, you know, at least I got a few $100. So that's where we've been culturally engineered to a point of we don't even have a spine. We're just like, just give away your freedom for a few $100, you know.
And similar here, people are still on what it's called furlough over here, but, you know, everyone's just getting paid to sit at home. And we're like, yeah, we can just sit and watch Netflix and not have to do anything. It's like, no, it's not a good thing. I mean, I think with the kids, one thing I do think, I don't know what it's like over there, but we've had the vaccine roll out for everyone over the age of 18, and it's imminent, like it's coming for the children now, you know. And I think, will that wake people up? Because I've had friends that are like, oh, I've had the vaccine because, you know, or whatever, I want to go on holiday, but I wouldn't let my kid have it. And I'm like, that's going to be a test, you know, will that wake people up?
Yeah.
Will that be a line that people aren't prepared to cross? I don't know. Yeah. What has happened in the States? It's been rolled out to children, hasn't it?
I think so. I thought it was like, teenage kids were now eligible to get it or something like that. I don't know. I don't keep up with like what nonsense they're allowing us to do now, or like, 'cause I just live my life, you know. I don't care what the government tells me I can and can't do. I'm just going to do it because, you know, if you're not harming anyone else, then you're not violating any natural law. So, you know, I don't really give a shit what a man's law says. You know, it holds no water to me. I mean, I've tried to balance not going to jail with that, but, you know, it's like they can just legislate whatever they want. You know, we've let immoral humans enact immoral legislation, and so we just get immorality as a result. And so people are just like, well, I have to follow whatever man's law said. Like, man's law is bullshit, you know? It's like, it's the creator's law above all else. And they violate that daily. And it's not in alignment with natural law. And, you know, that's what I abide by. Not any bullshit that our president or Congress has enacted.
Yeah, totally. And I love it. I dip in and out of the news. I don't watch it at all, but just occasionally to see what, you know, drivel are people being told, just to have an awareness, but in a kind of a curiosity point of view, like, wow, this is really crazy crap that people are, you know, watching.
I know. Isn't tuning into, like, every now and then, if you tune into like the news or like sometimes a radio station or something, it's like, oh my God, I cannot believe the level of just mind control and propaganda they're throwing at. You would have thought there was bodies in the street every time you walk outside, according to these people. But nobody is experiencing that reality. And that's another thing for me, is like, no one has this direct experience of just bodies everywhere, ambulances running up and down the street, yet they act as though that is happening. But no one has that experience.
No, and it is because of the media, you know, without a doubt. I think if you didn't watch the telly and didn't read the newspapers, you know, the problem goes away, you know. And
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are some people that have been affected, you know, I'm not for a minute not saying that, but I think we know it was elderly people that were
right.
that were affected, and more effort could have been put on to protect those that needed it, you know. I do think if we actually did, if society or humanity had a pandemic that actually had more than a 99% survival rate or less than, I don't know how we'd cope, you know, like we can't.
And that's been, I mean, from the start, it was like, well, you know, somebody would have to have direct experience of this if, you know, it wouldn't require an entire marketing and propaganda campaign to keep people in fear. And I've always said about the mask, if you didn't have a mask, then you'd forget that we were in a pandemic, so to speak. And that's the whole reason for the mask, I think. Well, other than some kind of, probably some kind of ritual initiation of some kind of weird shit, it is probably just a constant reminder to people that you're in a fearful pandemic, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's a visual reminder of of what they want you to think is going on, definitely.
Yeah, stay in fear. Yeah.
I'm really conscious of your time. There's one question I want to ask, which I ask everyone. So I'm interested to get your take on it. So if you could have one. You what? Sorry?
I said I'm nervous.
No, don't be. It's just a small question, a final question. But if you could have one wish for humanity right now, what would you wish for?
That they would align with truth. That they would align themselves with truth and morality. Because if we did that, then you'd be forced to take personal responsibility for your own life. And if everyone took personal responsibility for their own life, in the aggregate of human collective consciousness, you know, we would make a huge dent in their plan, essentially, you know, and we would come out of the fear-based mindset, which is the lowest vibration we could be in, and we would be in a love-based mindset. And if we can get from fear to love is, you know, we would make leaps and bounds.
Mm, definitely. Actually, I want to ask you something else on that note, if that's all right. On that note, what do you do to keep yourself, like, you're obviously in a really good place, you know, mentally, I can see that you're full of high vibes.
You.
You know, what do you do to keep yourself there?
You know, I listen to, you know, I work by myself out here, and you know, I'm around my family all the time. We kind of live in our own world out here, honestly, because our closest neighbor is like maybe a quarter mile away. So, and we just do our own thing. But I never take in any of that propaganda bullshit, one, because it's, you know, it just lies. But it's, I guess, just constantly inputting good, because if you input good, then you output good. You know, and so many people are just inputting shit and then expecting great things to come out the other end, you know. And
it's,
it just
law
doesn't
of attraction,
work like,
isn't it? Yeah, it's totally the law of attraction, I think.
I just try to input good and output good, I guess. And it's not always like, I'm not always like high spirited, because it is a pretty dark place we're in right now, but you know, I try to remain positive, and you caught me on a good day, so it's all good. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
I enjoyed it. It was good. Yeah.